Okay, let's go. Let me get the guitar. And we will chant something. Some nice spiritual song. Udila Aruna, Udilo Aruna. Make sure it's tuned right.
Gay
Jai Om Vishnu Pad. Paramahansa Paravadakacharya, also Teta Sitashi Shimad. His Divine Grace of Ayachatana Devatavananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishna Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopadath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Mathuradam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Vadavai Ki Jai Srimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Prananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pristaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakta Vedanta Swamini Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha. Deja Tarane. So good to see everybody, and we are going to read from the Krishna book again, if that's all right. So, without further ado, actually I should read the translation of this poem by Bhaktivinoda Thakur first. With the rising sun appearing in the east, the jewel, the twice-born Lord Gauranga awakened, gathering his devotees around him, he set out to preach in the countryside towns and villages. Tatai, sounded the mridanga drums, and the cymbals chimed in time. Lord Gaurasundar's shimmering golden features danced, and his ankle bells jingled. Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari chanted the devotees, their mouths filled with vibrations. Calling out, they preached to those still sleeping. You spend your nights uselessly sleeping, and your days decorating your bodies. Although you have achieved this rare human birth, you do not care for this precious gift. Instead, you refrain from serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Why then do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This life is temporary and full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the sweet holy name has arisen like the shining sun. Drink deeply the pure nectar of Krishna's holy name, which is the life and soul of Bhaktivinoda. The holy names aside, there is nothing to be had in all the 14 worlds. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai, holy name Ki Jai. This life is very short. Before you know it, you will have an old body. Prabhupada explain that we're changing bodies throughout this life. Dehino smin yata dehe komaram yavanam jura tata dehantaras praptir dhiras tachanamuyuti. Just like our changing bodies in this life, we change bodies after this life. And so, get ready. Get ready. I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement when I had a very young body. 21 and now old and need spare parts and tune-ups and all sorts of different things like that. Better believe it. It's coming. But those of you who are young, they are not thinking like that. Just like this verse from the Mahabharata, Ahani Ahani Bhutaniya Gacchanti Amaliam. The most amazing thing is that we think we're not going to die. We see everybody else die. So the same thing applies to, we think we're not going to get old, and we see everybody else get old and get sick. Get ready. It is going to happen. Guaranteed. Lifetime guarantee. Or, yes, lifetime guarantee. All right, so on that happy note, let's get to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm not Chaitanya Shanti, I'm the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's get to the Krishna book. So, all glories of Prabhupada, Omaganat, Tumananda, Shakananjana, Shukya, Chakshuna, Mini Tam, Yena, Tasma, Yashigaveda, Maha. So, let's share the screen. Whoops, which screen am I going to share? I got so many screens open. I got to search through all the screens. Here we go. We're going to go to chapter 11. Whoops. In Prabhupada's Krishna book. Hold on a second. Let me just set everything up. So, okay, chapter 11 is about killing the demons, Vatsasura and Bukhasura. Another exciting chapter. So, we just finished, of course, with describing the liberation of Manigriva Nalakuvara, the twin sons of Kuvera, were cursed to become trees, and then they were liberated by Krishna and went back to the heavenly planets, not back to spiritual world. When the twin Arjun trees fell to the ground, making a sound like the falling of thunderbolts, all the inhabitants of Gokula, including Nanda Maharaj, immediately came to the spot. They were very much astonished to see how two great trees had suddenly fallen. Because they could find no reason for their falling down, they were puzzled. When they saw a child Krishna bound up to the wooden mortar by the ropes of Mother Yashoda, they thought that it must have been caused by some demon. Otherwise, how was it possible? At the same time, they were very much perturbed because such uncommon incidents were always happening to child Krishna. While the coward men were thus contemplating, the small children who were playing there informed the men that the trees had fallen because Krishna had pulled the wooden mortar with the rope binding him. Krishna came in between the two trees, they explained, and the wooden mortar was topsy-turvied and stuck in between the trees. Krishna pulled the rope and the trees fell down. When the trees fell down, two very dazzling men came out of the trees and they said something to Krishna. Most of the coward men did not believe the statement of the children. They could not believe that such things were at all possible. Some of the men, however, believed them and told Nanda Maharaj, "Your child is different from all other children. He just might have done it." Nanda Maharaj smiled to hear about the extraordinary abilities of his son. He came forward and untied the knot just to free his wonderful son. After being freed by Nanda Maharaj, Krishna was taken under the laps of the elder gopis. They took him away to the courtyard of the house and began to clap, praising his wonderful activities. Krishna danced along with their clapping, just like an ordinary child. The Supreme Lord Krishna, being completely controlled by the gopis, sang and danced, just like a puppet in their hands. Sometimes, Mother Yashoda used to ask Krishna to bring her a wooden plank for sitting. Although the wooden plank was too heavy to be carried by a child, still somehow or other Krishna would bring it to his mother. Sometimes his father, while worshipping Narayana, would ask him to bring his wooden slippers, and Krishna with great difficulty would put the slippers on his head and bring them to his father. When he was asked to lift some heavy article and was unable to lift it, he would simply move his arms. In this way, daily at every moment, he was the reservoir of all pleasure for his parents. The Lord was exhibiting such childish dealings with the inhabitants of Vrindavan because he wanted to show the great philosophers and sages searching after the Absolute Truth how the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, is controlled and subject to the desires of his pure devotees. The next story is so beautiful. One day, a fruit vendor came before the house of Nanda Maharaj. Upon hearing the vendor call, "If anyone wants fruits, please come and take them from me." Child Krishna immediately took some grains in his palms and went to get fruits in exchange. In those days, exchange was by barter. In other words, no money. Therefore, Krishna might have seen his parents acquire fruits and other things by bartering grain, and so he imitated. But his palms were very small, and he was not very careful to hold the grains tight, so he was dropping them. The vendor who came to sell fruits saw this and was very much captivated by the beauty of the Lord. So she immediately accepted whatever few grains were left in his palms and filled his hands with fruits. In the meantime, the vendor saw that her whole basket of fruit had become filled with jewels. The Lord is the bestower of all benedictions. If someone gives something to the Lord, he is not the loser. He is the gainer by a million times. People like that story. Sometimes when we're encouraging people to give a donation, we tell this particular story. We may also tell the story of what? Sudama Brahman. Sudama Brahman gave Krishna just some broken rice, which Krishna took once or twice. And then he came back to his home after that, and he found a mansion with so many servants. So that may encourage certain people. But actually, no matter what you have in this world, even things that Krishna gives you, material opulence, that is, you will ultimately have to give up when you leave this world. However, devotional service, your bhakti, you don't give up. Swapam apyasha dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Whatever you've gained in this material world, or in a spiritual world, or service to Krishna, you never, never, never lose. That's fantastic. Everything else you lose. Everything. You know, your home, your family, your computer. Oh my God, my computer. Your car. Everything. Your youth. Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. Everything in this world is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. And the reason the acharyas, like Govindadas, mentioned a lotus leaf, because the lotus leaf has a waxy covering, and when you have a drop of water on it, the water very easily slips off. So that's what happens with this world. The whole show is temporary. Yep. It's like a Broadway show. Well, Broadway, none of you know what a Broadway show is. But it's like a theatrical performance. They open the curtains. And, dun, 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 and then you come out and you do your little dance on the stage. And then at the end, everyone says, that was very nice. Close the curtains. And that's it. That's it. It's all over. Too bad. One day Lord Krishna, the liberator of the twin Arjun trees, was playing with Balaram and the other children on the bank of Yamuna, and because it was already late in the morning, Rohini, the mother of Balaram, went to call him back home. But Balaram and Krishna were so engrossed in playing with their friends, they did not wish to go back. They just engaged themselves in playing more and more. When Rohini was unable to take them back home, she went home and sent Mother Yashoda to call them again. Mother Yashoda was so affectionate toward her son that as soon as she came out to call him back home, her breast filled up with milk. She loudly cried, "My dear child, please come back home. Your time for lunch has already passed." She then said, "My dear Krishna, oh, my dear lotus-eyed child, please come and suck my breast. You have played enough. You must be very hungry, my dear little child. You must be tired from playing so long." She also addressed Balaram thus, "My dear Rama, the glory of your family, my dear child, please come back with your younger brother Krishna immediately. You have been engaged in playing since early morning, and you must be very tired. Please come back and take your lunch at home. Your father, Nanda Raj, is waiting for you. He has to eat, so you must come back so that he can eat." As soon as Krishna and Balaram heard that Nanda Maharaj is waiting for them, it could not take his food in their absence. They started a return. Their playmates complained, "Krishna is leaving us just at the point when our plane is at the summit. Next time, we shall not allow him to leave." Let me just write something down. Here. It's a note to myself. His playmates then threatened not to allow him to play with them again. Like they would actually do that. Krishna became afraid, and instead of going back home, he went back again to play with the boys. At that time, Mother Yashoda scolded the children and told Krishna, "My dear Krishna, do you think that you are a street boy? You have no home. Please come back to your home. I see that your body has become very dirty from playing since early morning. Now come home and take your bath. Besides, today is your birthday ceremony. Therefore, you should come back home and give cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Don't you see? I don't want people to call me on their own. Don't you see how your playmates are decorated with ornaments by their mothers? You should also be cleansed and decorated with nice dress and ornaments. Please, therefore, come back. Take your bath, dress yourself nicely, and then again you may go on playing. In this way, Mother Yashoda called back Lord Krishna and Balaram, who are worshipable by great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. She was thinking of them as her children. When Mother Yashoda's children, Krishna and Balaram, came home, she bathed them very nicely and dressed them with ornaments. She then called for the Brahmanas, and through her children, she gave many cows in charity for the occasion of Krishna's birthday. In this way, she performed the birthday ceremony of Krishna at home. After this incident, all the elder coward men assembled together and Nanda Maharaj presided. They consulted amongst themselves how to stop the great disturbances in Mahaman on account of the demons. In this meeting, Upananda, the brother of Nanda Maharaj, was present. He was considered to be learned and experienced, and he was a well-wisher of Krishna and Balaram. He was a leader, and he addressed the meeting as follows. My dear friends, now we should leave here for another place because we are continually finding that great demons are coming here to disturb the peaceful situation, and they are especially attempting to kill the small children. Just consider Putana and Krishna. It was simply by the grace of Lord Hari that Krishna was saved from the hands of such a great demon. Next, the whirlwind demon, that's Trinabharta, took Krishna away into the sky. But by the grace of Lord Hari, he was saved. And the demon fell down on a stone slab and died. Very recently, this child was playing between two trees, and the trees fell down violently, and yet there was no injury to the child. So Lord Hari saved him again. Just imagine the calamity if this child or any other child playing with him were crushed by the falling trees. Considering all these incidents, we must conclude that this place is no longer safe. Let us leave. We've all been saved from different calamities by the grace of Lord Hari. Now we should be cautious and leave this place and reside somewhere where we can live peacefully. I think that we should all go to the forest known as Vrindavana. So they were actually in Gokul, let me explain, which is on the eastern side of the Yamuna. And so in order to go to Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan, which actually includes Govardhan, they had to cross the Yamuna. So that was their plan, or his plan at this point, where just now there are newly grown plants and herbs. It is very suitable for pasturing ground for our cows, and we and our families, the gopis with their children, can very peacefully live there. Near Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, which is very beautiful. And there are newly grown grass and fodder for the animals, so there will be no difficulty in living there. I therefore suggest that we start immediately for that beautiful place, as there is no need to waste any more time. Let us prepare all our carts immediately, and if you like, let us go, keeping all the cows in front. On hearing the statement of Upananda, all the coward men immediately agreed. Let us immediately go there. Everyone then loaded all their household furniture and utensils onto the carts and prepared to go to Vrindavana. All the children, women, and old men in the village were arranged on seats, and the coward men equipped themselves with bows and arrows to follow the carts. All the cows and bulls were placed in front along with their calves, and the men with their bows and arrows surrounded the herds and carts and began to blow on their horns and bugles. In this way, with tumultuous sound, they started for Vrindavan. And who can describe the damsels of Braja? They were all, damsels means the ladies. It's old English. They were all seated on carts and were very beautifully dressed with ornaments and costly saris. They chanted the pastimes of child Krishna as usual. Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini were seated on a separate cart, and Krishna and Balaram were seated on their laps. While Mother Rohini and Yashoda were riding on the cart, they talked to Krishna and Balaram, and feeling the pleasure of such talks, they look very, very beautiful. In this way, after reaching Vrindavana, where everyone lives eternally, very peacefully and happily, they encircled Vrindavana, drew all the carts together in a half circle, and in this way constructed a temporary residence. When Krishna and Balaram saw the beautiful appearance of Vrindavana, Govardhan Hill, and the banks of the river Yamuna, they felt very happy. As they grew up, they began talking with their parents and others in childish language, and thus they gave great pleasure to all the inhabitants of Vrindavana. Vrindavana is the forest. Vana means forest. The forest of Vrinda, which is actually the biggest of all the main forests of Vrindavan. Vrindavan also refers to the whole area of Braj. Braj, whole area of Vrindavan. And it also refers to the specific forest known as Vrindavan Forest, which is the largest forest, goes all the way to Govardhan Hill. And it's described that Nanda Maharaj established his place at Nandagaon, which is a hill. Beautiful hill. Soon Krishna and Balaram had grown sufficiently to be given charge of the calves. Cowherd boys, from the very beginning of their childhood, are trained to take care of the cows, and their first responsibility is to take care of the little calves. So along with the other little cowherd boys, Krishna and Balaram went to the pasturing ground and took charge of the calves. And there they played with their playmates. While taking charge of the calves, sometimes the two brothers played on their flutes. And sometimes they played with amalaka fruits and bayo fruits, just as small children play with balls. Sometimes they danced and made tinkling sounds with their ankle bells. Sometimes they made themselves into bulls and cows by covering themselves with blankets. Thus Krishna and Balaram played. The two brothers also used to imitate the sounds of bulls and cows and play like two bulls fighting. Sometimes they used to imitate the sound of various animals and birds. In this way, they enjoy their childhood pastimes, apparently like ordinary, mundane children. But there was nothing mundane about Krishna's pastimes. Once, when Krishna and Balaram were playing on the bank of the Yamuna, a demon of the name Vatsasura assumed the shape of a calf and came there, intending to kill the brothers. By taking the shape of a calf, the demon could mingle with the other calves. Krishna, however, specifically noticed this and immediately alerted Balaram about the entrance of the demon. Both brothers then silently approached him. Krishna caught hold of the demon calf by the two hind legs and tail, whipped him around very forcibly, and threw him up into a tree. The demon lost his life and fell down from the top of the tree to the ground. When the demon lay dead on the ground, all the playmates of Krishna congratulated him. "Well done, well done." And the demigods in the sky showered flowers with great satisfaction. In this way, the maintainers of the complete creation, Krishna and Balaram, used to take care of the calves every day, beginning in the morning, and thus they enjoyed their childhood pastimes as cowherd boys in Vrindavan. So another pastime occurred at this particular juncture, and that occurred right after Krishna killed Vatsasura, who had taken the shape of a calf. So you know that you're not supposed to kill cows, calves, bulls. I mean, they're all dear to Krishna. A cow, well, cow is Bhumi, and some other. And the bull is our father, and the bull is Dharma. What does Dharma mean? Religion, religious principles. So anyway, milk is religious principles and liquid form. So killing or having anything to do with killing these animals is grossly, cannot give a superlative, that means a word that indicates how bad it is. It is so bad. So anyway, getting back to the point. So the coward boys, when they saw Krishna had killed this calf, even though they understood it was a demon, they said, "You better do some penance, Krishna." And Krishna said, "What sort of penance should I do?" And they said, "Well, the only way you would expiate this particular sin is if you go to the Ganges." Now, the Ganges was not there. The Ganges was a little distance away. Quite a distance away. And Krishna did not want to leave Vrindavan. So Krishna said, okay, I will bring the Ganges here. So he manifested the Ganges from his mind, and that manifestation of the Ganges is called the Manasi Ganga, which is right in the center of Govardhan. And many pastimes occurred within this Manasi Ganga, many boat pastimes, swimming pastimes, childish pastimes of Krishna, romantic pastimes of Krishna, occurred on this or in this lake. And so later on, Nanda Maharaj wanted to go to see the Ganges, and Krishna said, no, I've created the Ganges from here. And Nanda Maharaj didn't really believe him. So Krishna had Ganga Devi, the personification of the Ganges, come out of the Manasi Ganga and actually attest to the fact that she was there. The Ganges was there. So, wonderful. So you can go into this Manasi Ganga today when you go to Vrindavan. It's, in one sense, considered to be the largest body of water. Although, from my estimation, Suryakund appears to be a little bit bigger than the Manasi Ganga. Anyway, whatever. Maybe originally it was the largest body, and then they sort of dredged it and constructed houses around it, I don't know. And also, in the center of this Manasi Ganga Lake, center side, there is the Mukada Vinda Temple. That means the mouth of Govardhan. And 24 hours a day, these Brahmana devotees are feeding the mouth of Govardhan, and so many people are coming and offering food and money and everything like that to worship the mouth of Govardhan. And it's interesting, but Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur confirmed that that is the bona fide mouth of Govardhan. In the Ballabhacharya Sampradaya, there's another location which they consider to be the mouth of Govardhan. And it's some other location. So anyway, but Govardhan could eat with any part of his body. Angani, Asha, Shakalan, Triadri, Tibanti, Pashanti, Panti, Kadianti, Chiran, Jaganti. So that is the, Brahma Samhita says that all of Krishna's senses are interchangeable. He can eat with any part of his body. So one day, eat with any part of his body, see with any part of his body, touch with any part of his body, pick up things with any part of his body, smell with any part of his body, because his body is Satchitananda. It's not composed of the same stuff that our body is composed of. Our body is Tridatuke, bio, mucus, air, blood, you know, wow. It definitely is. Actually, you know, I experienced that when I had this little operation on my head, you know. I said, oh, I thought my body was Satchitananda. I guess it's not. I thought I was so advanced that I had a spiritual body. But then I discovered my body is composed of Panchamahabhuta, at least the gross body is, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And that's it. It's not spiritual. Of course, I do have a spiritual body, and by chanting, I will actually realize that. One day, all the cowherd boys went to the bank of the river Yamuna to water the calves. When the calves drank water from the Yamuna, the boys also drank. After drinking, when they were sitting on the bank of the river, they saw a huge animal which looked something like a heron and was as big as a hill. Oh my God. Its top was as strong as a thunderbolt. When they saw that unusual animal, they became afraid of it. The name of this beast was Bakasura, and he was a friend of Kamsa's. Good association. He appeared on the scene suddenly and immediately attacked Krishna with his pointed shark beak and quickly swallowed him up. When Krishna was thus swallowed, all the boys headed by Balaram became almost breathless as if they had died. But when the Bakasura demon was swallowing up Krishna, he felt a burning fiery sensation in his throat. This was due to the glowing effulgence of Krishna. The demon quickly threw Krishna up and tried to kill him by pinching him in his beak. Bukha Asura did not know that although Krishna was playing the part of a child of Nanda Maharaj, he still was the original father of Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe. Mother Yashoda's child, who was the reservoir of pleasure for the demigods and who was the maintainer of saintly persons, caught hold of the great gigantic Hiran by the two halves of his beak and before his coward boyfriends bifurcated his mouth, just as a child very easily splits a blade of grass. From the sky, the denizens of the heavenly planet showered flowers like the Malika, the most fragrant of all flowers, as a token of their congratulations. Accompanying the showers of flowers was a vibration of bugles, drums, and conch shells. When the boys saw the showering of flowers and heard the celestial sounds, they became struck with wonder. And when they saw Krishna freed from the mouth of the great demon Bakasura, all of them, including Balaram, were so pleased that it seemed as if they had regained their very source of life. As soon as they saw Krishna coming toward them, then one after another embraced the son of Nanda Maharaj and held him to their chests. After this, they assembled all the cobs under their charge and began to return home. When they arrived home, they spoke of the wonderful activities of the son of Nanda. When the gopis and coward men all heard the story from the boys, they felt great happiness because naturally they loved Krishna. And by hearing about his glories and victorious activities, they became still more affectionate toward him. Thinking the child Krishna had been saved from the mouth of death, they looked upon his face with great love and affection. They were full of anxiety and could not turn their faces from the vision of Krishna. The gopis and the men began to converse amongst themselves about how wonderful it was that child Krishna had been attacked in so many ways and so many times by so many demons, and yet the demons themselves had been killed and Krishna had remained uninjured. They continued to converse amongst themselves about how so many great demons in such fierce bodies had attacked Krishna to kill him. By the grace of Hari, had not been able to cause even a slight injury. Rather, they had all died like small flies in a fire. Thus they remembered the words of Gargamuni, who had foretold by dint of his vast knowledge of the Vedas and astrology that this boy would be attacked by many demons. Now they were actually seeing that this was coming true, word for word. Wow. All the coward men, including Nanda Maharaj, used to talk of the wonderful activities of Lord Krishna and Balaram, and they were always so much absorbed in those talks that they forgot the threefold miseries of this material existence. This is the effect of Krishna consciousness. What was enjoyed 5,000 years ago by Nanda Maharaj can still be enjoyed by Krishna-conscious persons simply by talking about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. Now remember that we can forget about the miseries of this material world. What are the miseries? Threefold: adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik. Three. Adiatmic means miseries from the body and mind. Shoo. Don't blame anyone else. Miseries from the body and mind. Aches and pains. Shoo. Challenges. And then, adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik. Miseries from other living entities. Whew. You know, people are mean to you, people try to cheat you, people disappoint you, people who are your friends, they say some harsh words, they think they're your friends, people who you love, they turn against you. Whew. It's really exhausting. And then miseries from the material energy in general. Too hot, too cold, just like many people are experiencing right now around the world. Global warming. Of course, that global warming is the punishment for misusing God's resources. And so the rivers are drying up, the temperature is reaching extremes, they're torrential rains in other places. You know, it's like opposites. Certain places there's no rain, it's like a desert. Other places there's too much rain, people's houses get flooded, they have to escape from their house in boats. And so that's miseries from the material energy in general. So if we simply hear and chant about Krishna, then these miseries fade into the distance. It's like refocusing. If you've ever focused a camera, I mean, sorry about this, this is the old days where there used to be cameras. Cameras used to have lenses, they still do, and you would focus on one thing and other things would go out of focus. That's called, technically, bokeh. B-O-K-E-H, not bouquet like a bouquet of flowers. So you would actually focus on something and the other things would fade away, basically. Oh, just like I'm using a particular software enhancement on my video, so you can see my video, the video of my body, is focused on me, but the background, you really can't even... Practically can't even see that this is a bookcase right behind me. It's just like blurred. So that's what happens when you are absorbed in Krishna Katha, that everything else becomes blurry. And obviously if you need to focus, you can also focus, otherwise you're going to create a hazard or a disaster within this material world. You're driving a car and everything but Krishna becomes blurry. But everything connected to Krishna also becomes in focus. And you lose an interest in things. Just like, I mean, I've lost an interest in seeing all these mundane films, even science fiction films. I mean, just in the early days of the movement, I had an interest in seeing these things. You know, like people talking about movies like Avatar and things like that, you know, whatever. I just lost all my interest except in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So Balaram and Krishna enjoyed their childhood pastimes imitating Lord Ramchandra's monkeys who constructed the bridge over the ocean and Hanuman who jumped over the ocean to sail on. They used to imitate such pastimes among their friends and so happily passed their childhood life. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 11th chapter of Krishna, killing the demons Vatsa Sura and Bukas Sura. So one interesting story of how they imitated Lord Ramchandra and the monkeys bridging the ocean to Lanka is that once upon a time Krishna said to the gopis, I am Ram. And the gopis said, if you are Ram, you can build a bridge, make stones float over the Yamuna. And Krishna said, yes, I can do that. And they said, if you actually are wrong, you should have the monkeys do it. So Krishna called for the monkeys in Vrindavan, and they actually built a bridge over the Yamuna. Another story of Krishna being Ram. Krishna is Ram, of course. There's no difference. Advaita chuta nadi ranata rupa majum puranam purusham na vyovanam cha. Is that when Krishna would be put to rest at night by his mother would sometimes read to him or recite the pastimes of Ram from the Ramayana, because Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan knew the Ramayana. And when Krishna heard these pastimes, specifically the pastimes that involved the fight between Lord Ram and Ravan, the direct fight between them, Krishna would sometimes just stand up on his bed spontaneously and act as if he had a bow and arrow in his hand, and he would scream, that demon, Ravan, I'm going to kill him. And Yashodamai was shocked to see this. So anyway, Krishna is Ram, Ram is Krishna. There's no difference, just the difference in the mood being exhibited. But there's only one God, as I've mentioned many, many times before. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing, and we will allow you to unmute yourselves. say, it looks like there's a question before you. Guru Dev, in today's reading, Lord Balaram was also playing the flute. Does he play when he grows up in pastime? He plays the flute. Not outside of Vrindavan. Outside of Vrindavan, he does not play a flute. Okay, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti, Ruchate. So Rishikesha, your
question. Thank you, Gurudev.
Very well.
Gurudev, just a quick question. I was just wondering, these demons, you know, they are not part of the internal potency of the Lord, whereas the pastimes of the Lord are all within Yoga Maya, right? So how come they are also able to participate? Is it a part of Yoga Maya or Mahamaya?
No, they're not. They're demons. I mean, most of them are actually demons, you know, real demons. So they are not under Yoga Maya. They're under Mahamaya. And they're really trying to kill God or trying to kill Krishna. And then Krishna's so kind that he liberates them.
But all the Krishna's pastimes are conducted by Yoga Maya, right?
Yes. So Yoga Maya arranges. Yoga Maya, let's say Mahamaya is an expansion of Yoga Maya.
Okay, okay.
So Mahamaya can also assist Krishna in his pastimes. So it's just like, you have Krishna expands in this material world as Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is helping Krishna in his pastimes. And Lord Shiva plays a part in some of the pastimes in Krishna book too that we'll read about later on. Lord Shiva guards the holy dam of Vrindavan. He's called the Dikpala. Kundeshwara Mahadevi guards Radha Kund. Chakaleshwara Mahadev. He guards Govardhan Hill. All right.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Thank you, Rishikesh. It's nice to see the deities behind you. That's actually a nice backdrop. Okay. Hope wound healing is well. Gurudev, yes, it's doing very well.
Krishna Prabhu. Dharma Pranam Maharaj.
Haribol.
I have one question, Maharaj. In regards of threefold miseries, Maharaj.
Yeah.
I'm not going to anybody else, but what I experienced in my 21 years of spiritual life as well as materialistic life, Maharaj, is it possible that a threefold miseries can come once at a time into one of the devotees or in any one individual's life at the same time within the same impact?
Yes, they can come within the... Sometimes they come all at once. sometimes you can have all three simultaneously.
Okay.
And all three of different varieties. But they're actually, for a devotee, they're arranged to help a devotee advance in spiritual life. You know, I know when I have some, you know, little health things like this thing that I have in my head, which is healing nicely, that it really helps me focus on the purpose of human life. You know, these different miseries actually have a purpose for a devotee. They're impetuses to understand Krishna consciousness. You know, just warning, like old age is actually a benediction. I mean, if we didn't get old, let's say if we didn't get old, we didn't get sick, but we died, that would not be a good arrangement. That would be a really bad arrangement because then you don't get any warnings. Of course, you have King Kulukshetra who's praying, let me die when I'm young. So my voice won't choke up with mucus and I can chant your holy name and my mind will be clear. So, but still, these miseries that are impacting and sometimes impact a devotee's life, they are stimulants for taking Krishna consciousness seriously. When everything's going well, it's not so good for spiritual advancement. because then you just like forget. It's like the demigods. Everything goes well. There's practically there's no disease in the heavenly planets. There's no old age in the heavenly planets. No crying babies in the heavenly planets. So, anyway. So, yes, threefold miseries. Not that I asked for them. Actually, Queen Kunti asked for more of the miseries. She says, Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. Please send these miseries again and again because Apur Nar Bhava Darshanam, because I don't want to see repeated birth and death. So here's another question. Gurudev, the other day you were explaining the psychology behind the impersonalist. What is the psychology of the Mayavadis? It might be the same thing. Maybe envy. Maybe just lust, you know. You know, God for the... You can be God for the day. You know, just lust and pride. I mean, it could be a number of things. Psychology, or it could be just like disappointment with the material world, just wanting to end everything. Sometimes Mayavad impersonalist and Mayavad philosophy, Mayavad impersonalist, actually the same thing. Voidist, actually, is the other thing. So the... Actually, all these types of philosophies are completely opposed to the Vedic understanding. And so, they're sick. Anyway, it could be any one of a number of different factors. I'm not going to do a whole psychology. Everybody is different. Everybody is different as to why they take up a particular philosophical viewpoint. And you know, we also have a psychology. My psychology, why did I take up Krishna consciousness? Because I want to focus my loving propensity on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Prabhupada explains this in the beginning, in the introduction to Krishna book, that we all have a loving propensity and we want to be able to focus this loving propensity in an unlimited way. And this loving propensity is getting frustrated at every step. You know, whether we focus our loving propensity on our dog or our husband or wife or children, there's a limit. Prabhupada gives the example of a light. You can shine a light into a box and it only goes a short distance, but you shine a light, particularly a laser beam. Prabhupada didn't use the example of laser beam. I added that. But you shine a laser beam into space and it goes on unlimitedly. Isn't it? I understand. It's just a metaphor. But I think you understand what I mean. So we want to be able to increase our loving propensity because savai pung sampara dharma yato bhakti rahoksate haitakira pratyata yatma supersedity, because this is the only thing that can satisfy us. And so, basically that was my psychology, and also I wanted to understand what is life all about. You know, I consider everything pretty frightening without knowing the purpose of life, without knowing where I was going to the time of death, without knowing where I came from. It was frightening. It's frightening. You know, if I tell you that in 20, 30, 40, almost 50 years, we don't know what's going to happen with you. That's frightening, isn't it? I mean, it's frightening, especially for us old folks. You know, it's frightening. We don't know what's going to happen. Where are you going to go? We don't know where you came from. We don't know whether you're a machine or not. And your consciousness is just an epiphenomena of the material combination of elements. That's frightening. You know, I needed some assurance that you are eternal, you are a person, and you're not going to die. You know, plus, you know, the loving propensity, being happy, relationship, you know, so we all join Krishna consciousness because of some psychological reason. You know, everybody has a psychology. Just like we say, everybody has a philosophy. You know, someone may say, I have no philosophy. Well, that is a philosophy. To have no philosophy is a philosophy. Or there is no philosophy, that's a philosophy. You might as well join the existentialists, you know, or something like that. Okay, next question is Chitralekha. You have a question.
No. Oh, Maharaj, my obeisances. Don't you think that if we actually like lose interest and like disconnect from mundane things, we may lose also the opportunity like to preach in a more, I don't know, like to connect with mundane people that are not in a spiritual path? Like we may connect, for example, I'm a kindergarten teacher and I teach languages. And I try to see what these kids are watching in the TV and like to use those characters for teaching them languages. So, for example, if I go to a person, I say, oh, like that movie Avatar, it's the same thing. We are like our spirit is the one that is conducting our bodies. And so I used to have that thought, like I may not like involve or be interested in those mundane stories, but somehow they also allow me like to make a link with people to bring them to spiritual path.
That's right. If you see them as connected to Krishna and then you see them as utility in Krishna's service rather than trying to enjoy them. That's the actual key. If you have a desire just to enjoy them for their own sake, then that's mundane. But if you see them as connected to Krishna and you see their utility, that's called yukta vairagya. That's another thing. Yes. Then I may watch the movie, but I my desire to watch it is not there. To watch it for watching its sake. That's a difference. Like I may learn how to fix the plumbing in the temple, which I do know how to do that, but now I have other people who do it. But let's say I may learn how to fix the plumbing, but it's not that I'm interested in plumbing, it's I'm interested in serving Krishna. So the motivation is the important thing that determines whether it is mundane or whether it is spiritual. It's a good question. Okay, sorry, we have to end now. It is 6:01, and it's here, and it's time to say goodbye. So thank you very much, and tomorrow we will continue with the next chapter of Krishna book. This is very exciting. We're going through Krishna book very, very quickly, which is very exciting. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.